Good morning. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Not bad outside. Woke up this morning, Josh, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
35?
Beautiful out.
I'm telling you. It surprised me, but I'll take it, right?
Yes.
Any day in February that's 35 degrees, we'll take. All right, today we're going to talk about arthritis. If I don't know if you know this or not, but arthritis affects 1 in 5 American adults, and that number is expected to rise as the population grows and ages. That's according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. The chronic condition can be especially painful in the winter as the temperatures cause arthritis to worsen, or at least the symptoms. So we have invited to the program this morning Dr. Marta Smith, the University of Minnesota Medical School at MHealth Fairview. Good morning, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce the first of your hyphenated last name, so you can do that for me, Dr.
No problem. Thank you, Susie, for having me on. It's Michalska Smith.
Say that again.
Michalska. It's a Polish name.
Okay,
so.
Well, that's fine. Maybe I could call you Marta. How about that?
Yeah, that would be perfect.
Well, let's talk about what are first of all, I want to remind people listening, 651-461-9226. That is the number to talk. Call us or text us, 651-461-9226. So if you're listening right out of the gates this morning, remember that we're talking about arthritis. So before we get into some of the questions that I have, and my mom has, and some of our guests in studio have, and our listeners, what is arthritis, plainly speaking?
Yeah, good question. So arthritis is a very general term, right? It just means inflammation within the joint. And when people get this inflammation in their joints, you know, over time, at first it causes stiffness and pain, but it can also cause damage to the joint. What I think people don't always realize is that there's actually a lot of different types of arthritis. So the one that we probably will all experience in our lives and that most people are very familiar with is osteoarthritis. But there's also rheumatoid arthritis and psoriatic arthritis, and there are crystal arthritides out there. So it's a kind of a general term, and that can mean lots of different things to different people depending on which one they're dealing with.
Do most people have that first one, as you mentioned, the osteoarthritis?
Yeah, osteoarthritis is the most prevalent one, and it's one that kind of tends to affect people as they get older. And so that's the one that most of us are familiar with or will have experience with.
Because I'm curious as well along those same lines, is it genetic? A texter just jumped in. Is arthritis genetic?
Yeah, great question. So we used to think of osteoarthritis as this kind of wear and tear arthritis. So, you know, you have repetitive stress to the joint over time, and that will eventually kind of degrade the cartilage, which is the cushioning, the tissue that kind of cushions and protects the joint. But we now know that that's actually a little bit of an oversimplification. It's actually that osteoarthritis is a disease of the full joint, like all the joint tissues in the bone. And there are lots more that go into it than simply aging and wear and tear. And there actually is a genetic component as well. And that kind of helps us know, you know, how early are you going to get arthritis, maybe how bad. So if your mom, you know, had really bad osteoarthritis of her hands, you know, in her 60s, you're more likely to have it there as well. But it's not just genetics. There are other things that play a factor as well. So for instance, trauma to your joint. So if you have an old football injury in college of your knee, that knee is more likely to then have problems of osteoarthritis later in life, or maybe more severe than your other joints.
651-461-9226. We're talking about arthritis with Dr. Smith. Michalska Smith from the University of Minnesota Medical School. And we invite you to be a part of the show as well at 651-461-9226. Talking a little bit about what causes arthritis. You mentioned trauma. I have a personal question too. I fell and I caught myself with my hands and I kind of really hurt my 3 fingers and they're not feeling any better and they're stiff every morning. So can even something like that do something to your, because my fingers are still stiff and sore.
Yeah.
Not broke.
Good question. So can I ask how long ago you fell on that hand?
3 months.
3 months.
Maybe yeah. 2 months.
Yeah. So sometimes, you know, there is a difference between, and it's hard to know without kind of some more information, like an exam and x-rays and things like that. But there's injuries that can just take a very, very long time to heal. Mm. But when you have an injury like that, that has lasted as long as yours has, those fingers are probably going to be, you know, ones that osteoarthritis will, you know, could happen in a little bit sooner. Mm-hmm. Probably not in the terms of months, but, you know, in more along the timeline of years.
And that leads me kind of to a little follow-up. If I were to go in and have my hand x-rayed or whatever they would do, could you see arthritis in an x-ray?
Yes, you can see arthritis in an x-ray. People can sometimes have symptoms of arthritis, though, before you really see a ton on the x-ray. And what's really interesting is that if you take two people and let's say you x-ray their knees and one person has, you know, a lot of degeneration in their knee and bone on bone, and the other one maybe mild, more mild findings on the x-ray, that doesn't necessarily predict which of those two people are going to have more pain or more dysfunction. You know, in general, yes, the more kind of degeneration, the more disability or pain you'll have. But we've seen that's actually not always true. And so that's part of the picture of kind of how there's more to the story. You know, there's more about the nerves in the knee and that are sending pain signals to the brain and kind of how the other structures in the knee are functioning. So it's not all about kind of what you can see on an x-ray.
Very good. We're going to take our first break of the hour at 7:15 on a Sunday morning, 35 degrees outside. Our guest is Dr. Marta Mahishkala-Smith with the University of Minnesota Medical School in mHealth Fairview, and we are talking about arthritis. And if you have a question or a comment and want to jump in, we're at 651-461-9226. Doctor, we have a number of questions coming in already, so we'll get to as many as we can right after this. And we are back. 7:20 on News Talk 830 WCCO. My name is Susie Jones. Our guest this hour is Dr. Marta Mihelska-Smith, and we're talking about arthritis. And I kind of anticipated we would get a lot of questions. Our number is 651-461-9226 as we talk about arthritis this morning. I'm going to just hit a couple of them, and you can answer as many as you can in the time. We'll start with, does weight play a part in arthritis?
Yeah, good question. So it does. So all the kind of stress that we put in our joints, you know, plays a part. When you go up the stairs, for instance, your knees take about four times your body weight in stress as they go up the stairs. And so the more weight that we carry, the more stress we put on our joints. And so weight loss is actually one of the things that we do talk about in trying to reduce arthritis symptoms, because it just simply kind of minimizes how much that joint has to work.
Do knee sleeves help? And what foods might help?
Also a great question. So knee sleeves can help depending on why there's pain in the knee. And my recommendation for patients is usually to see a physical therapist, because physical therapists are really good at kind of assessing where the pain is coming from and why you're having pain. Is it the osteoarthritis really that's causing the pain, or is it more of kind of patellar traction, which is kind of the kneecap, or maybe some tendons giving you problems? And depending on what is causing the pain, a knee sleeve can be helpful or it cannot. And another, you know, what you can do is just kind of try it and see if it does help. But you do want to be careful, because sometimes when you put compression or different things on joints, it kind of changes how you walk a little bit and puts pressure on different parts of other joints that weren't used to seeing that stress. So physical therapy is really key in kind of helping guide that. And the second question, can you remind me, Susie, what it was?
Yeah, it was about food, and I think that's a big one. Food. Yeah, because people are talking about that.
Yeah, I get this question all the time in clinic, and it's really hard to, and you know, I deal a lot, I treat osteoarthritis, but I actually treat more of these autoimmune arthritides as well. It's a different type of arthritis, and there's a lot of talk in that community about anti-inflammatory foods especially, and it's really hard to study diet and study food. There's just so many variables, it's hard to kind of control the type of people eat, so we don't have good studies to really be able to answer that question definitively. But what I like to, you know, tell people is what we do know is that there are certain foods that are just not good for your health and do increase inflammation, like highly ultra-processed foods. And for most of us, just simply trying to reduce those is already something that takes quite a bit of work. And so you don't have to, you know, adhere to a very strict diet that's very conservative or makes you not have certain food groups. I tell people, you know, just try to eat a variety of foods, and the best is to eat foods that are, you know, fresh and whole from the ground or from the farm and not as processed. The Mediterranean diet has a lot of, you know, research about it too. It's kind of really helping. But as for kind of these like low inflammatory diets, you know, we just don't know, and we're not sure. I tell people, try it if it's something you're interested in. If it's not too burdensome and if it helps you, then great.
Okay. 651-461-9226. Now, I'm not going to say this right, but it's psoriatic. This texture.
Psoriatic.
What?
Psoriatic arthritis.
Right. This person says they are getting injections of Simponi Aria to slow the deterioration of bones. Just kind of talk about treatment, because that's one of the questions. Is this something you do? I know we're talking about food and weight, but in terms of medical intervention, what do you think of stuff like that?
Yeah, I do a lot of this. And this is kind of where that question between osteoarthritis and more of the autoimmune arthritides comes into play. So in osteoarthritis, we kind of talked about, you know, the different factors that play a role. And actually, most people with osteoarthritis, you know, don't need to see a rheumatologist. They can see their primary care doctor and then maybe an orthopedic surgeon at some point. But the psoriatic arthritis is actually part of an autoimmune arthritis. So that's when the immune system becomes dysfunctional and it kind of attacks your own body and causes a lot of inflammation in the joints. And it can also go to other places in the body too. So in psoriatic arthritis, you know, people oftentimes have psoriasis or inflammation over their skin. And this is where medications really come into play. And Simponi is one of the medications we use. So these are medications that target the immune system and suppress the immune system. And we have lots of different medications. It's actually a really exciting time because we have lots of different tools to use and things coming out every year for those kinds of arthritides.
And you talk as well about the research you're doing. What are you doing in your research to talk a little bit more about those advances that you just mentioned?
Yeah, so at the University of Minnesota, we're really excited. There's this new therapy that's has a lot of promise called CAR T-cell therapy, and it stands for chimeric antigen receptor therapy. And again, this is therapy that wouldn't be used for osteoarthritis, but would be used for the autoimmune arthritides. And this is where we take someone's own immune cells out of their body, and then we genetically engineer them so that they target kind of the problematic immune cells. And then we give that patient back their own immune cells, and those cells go and they attack those problematic immune cells. And we actually have two clinical trials right now going on at the University of Minnesota, one in lupus and one in rheumatoid arthritis, looking into this therapy. So if anyone out there has, you know, a family member or if they themselves are struggling with rheumatoid arthritis, it's really just not responding to treatment, I would encourage them to talk to their doctor about maybe getting involved in this clinical trial.
Now, how long does it take from a clinical trial to get to the market?
Oh, it varies a lot. And I would say, you know, not on the terms of like months, it's years usually. But that's why being part of clinical trials is a way also to kind of get access to kind of newer therapies before they're available to kind of the general public.
651-461-9226 if you have a question for the doctor. A texter writes this morning, hello, can severe ankle sprains end up showing arthritis? A person writes they had a nasty bruise on an ankle bone and has bad aching and foot swelling and wonder if that can be correlated. I know you mentioned trauma before.
Exactly. So, you know, just like we mentioned in the very beginning, that arthritis is just inflammation in the joint space. Well, we have a lot of tissues around the joint too, right? The tendons and ligaments and even muscles that are close to the joint. And so when you sprain an ankle and you cause inflammation, you know, it can affect the joint. And when the inflammation is sitting there for a long period of time, it can cause some damage or some injury. And so, yeah, a bad ankle sprain sometimes can. Although, you know, it's not just, you know, in a lot of my diseases that we treat, the inflammation is also in the tendons and ligaments. So a lot of the same treatments or a lot of the same modalities, like using anti-inflammatory medications or, you know, putting ice around the ankle, will help all those tissues. And over time, you know, less likely with just a sprain, but it is an ankle you might want to kind of watch more closely or protect in the future so that you don't continue to cause trauma to that area.
Very good. 651-461-9226. We're nearing the bottom of the hour break for weather. Texter writes from Shoreview, Mark, can pain from arthritic joints be treated with surgery?
Great. Yeah. So again, it depends a little bit on the type of arthritis. But in osteoarthritis, that is actually the only cure, is to have a joint replacement. So we first start with, you know, our anti-inflammatories like ibuprofen, or sometimes, you know, people will have steroid injections into the joint. And then over time, when those aren't working or physical therapy is a huge part of our treatment, then the only kind of way to really kind of cure the osteoarthritis is to see an orthopedic surgeon and get a joint replacement.
All right. And that's a whole nother show.
Yeah. And there are also, you know, other surgeries, of course, that people get for like their cartilage or their meniscus, et cetera. And those are all managed by orthopedics. And usually somebody would need to get like an MRI first to see exactly where the problem is, to kind of answer the question of whether surgery, you know, the different types of surgery could be helpful. But yes, there are surgical interventions that do help.
All right, very good. We're going to break here and we'll do some commercials and we'll read you the forecast for the day. And then we'll come back with more of your questions for our doctor on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And we are back. It is 7:34 on a Sunday morning. Happy to have you with us. Happy to have you involved. We've got a ton of questions at 651-461-9226. Our guest is Dr. Marta Mihelskala Smith. She is with the University of Minnesota Medical School and MHealth Fairview, and we're talking about arthritis and what can be done about it. How do you sort of treat the symptoms? And a question came up, Doctor, can you ever cure arthritis if you're the right weight and you eat the right foods, or once you have it, is it kind of a permanent fixture?
Yeah, so this is depends a lot, you know, on which arthritis we're talking about, because we talk about how there's kind of a lot of different ones. So starting with osteoarthritis, which is kind of that arthritis, just as a reminder, that we get usually as we age. That's a disease of the whole joint, but does have effects of genetics and trauma and kind of also, you know, how we use those joints over time. You can't cure that one. It is something that kind of will, you know, once the damage is there, it's there, and it can continue to progress. But there are ways of treating it and treating the pain. And then, of course, the joint replacements basically cure it in that joint, but not in maybe, you know, the full body. But then if you're talking about the autoimmune arthritis, so that's like rheumatoid arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, juvenile arthritis, so even kids can get arthritis, those are lifelong conditions. And currently we don't have cures, although that is kind of the hope. You know, we talked about the CAR T cell therapy. Some people are talking about that as a potential cure for arthritis. But we do, you know, the goal is kind of we keep the disease quiet, we keep it in remission, and we have so many new and exciting therapies right now that do a great job in keeping people able to do all the things they want to do, even, you know, play sports if they're young or older, and, you know, be able to do all their activities, play with their grandchildren with these medications.
Texter writes, my sweet mom is 96 years old and has bone on bone in her shoulder. She is using a CBD cream. And she says, what are your thoughts on that or any other suggestions?
Yeah, so I do support the use of CBD oils and creams over joints. Another good kind of topical, so things that you can put on the joints, is something called diclofenac gel, or the name brand is Voltaren gel. It's kind of an anti-inflammatory cream. But when you have that, you know, a big joint like that, like the shoulder with bone on bone, I think and you're quite a bit older, and so, you know, surgery might be a little bit more risky. Steroid injections are really probably the best in terms of kind of reducing pain. But sometimes even they don't work, you know, for some patients, or they stop working. And you'd be surprised, actually, depending on how healthy someone is and what their other issues are, even, you know, in a very advanced age, surgery can be a safe option for something like a shoulder.
Wow. Okay, good. Another texter writes, does a teaspoon of olive oil help?
Another good question. Yeah, we get so many questions about diet. And, you know, as I mentioned earlier, it's just really hard to study diet. And there haven't been any, you know, trials or studies looking specifically at olive oil that I'm aware of. But in general, from what we know of these kind of, you know, the diet, it doesn't hurt probably, but it doesn't seem to have kind of effects that are noticeable for most patients.
Okay, very good. Texter asks, how does coffee impact arthritis?
Yeah, I hope it doesn't impact it too much because I do love my coffee. again, there hasn't been studies as far as I'm aware of with coffee, but there's nothing about coffee that I can think of, kind of just thinking about how it affects our bodies, that would make arthritis worse, unless it just makes you, you know, so awake that you're going to go out on a run and fall on your knee or something. But I don't think it's bad for our joints.
And we were talking, my mom is listening probably now because she's getting ready for church, about like her fingers are turned, you know, like the look mm-hmm. of that look of an arthritic hand. Why does it do that?
Yeah, good question. So hand osteoarthritis is kind of a separate beast from the osteoarthritis that affects like the knees and hips. And it can be a little bit more inflammatory. Some people can get, you know, really bad symptoms in their hands. And you do get the bone will kind of grow and form these bony nodules. And we call those, when they're kind of at the end of our fingers, we call them Herbodine's nodes. And then kind of in the middle of our fingers, we call them Bouchard's nodes. And that bony growth is a response that the bone has to kind of the destruction, the inflammation, and the stress over time. And that can cause the fingers to kind of turn and have that knobby appearance. Unfortunately, there's not really, you know, a way to necessarily slow that down. We do have some medications that some people respond to, but it's more about kind of making sure that people can still do what they want to do with their hands. And so I do tell people to see occupational therapy. They are so good at helping people with not only exercises and stretches and things they can do with their hands, but different little gadgets that can help with like opening, you know, little bottles or picking things up that are small and maintaining the function of their hands. And if those nodules are really painful, again, hand ortho can sometimes will inject that with some steroids, and that can also be really helpful, especially at the base of the thumb. That's a spot that people get really bad pain, and it's really advanced osteoarthritis sometimes.
Again, if you're just joining us, we're talking about arthritis, and we have with us on our newsline Dr. Marta, Michalska Smith, Dr.
Perfect.
Did I do it right?
You did it beautifully, and you can just call me Marta. It's totally fine.
Okay, good. Well, I'm trying to be respectful, but it is. Now that I see it, I mean, it looks like Dr. Marta Michalska Smith. I'll keep asking these because people are just shooting out these one sentence questions, and it's very good because it makes my job very easy. Texter writes, great show. Thanks. What do you know about the new pain relieving drug that was approved this week by the FDA? Is there any side effect that we should know about? Thanks. Bye. They probably said that into their phone.
Yeah. I'm actually not sure which drug.
Are there new ones coming out?
There's always new meds coming out. I'm not familiar of which one came out this week with a the pain relieving drug, okay. But I will say that the process to get a drug approved is so arduous that if it's been approved by the FDA, I'm usually not concerned about safety. There is something called post-marketing surveillance. So as soon as the drug comes out to the public, for the next couple of years, they gather a bunch more information. So there are times, of course, where we find out new things after a drug has been out for a couple of years. But it's already been, if it's been approved and it's already been years and years of studying and watching. So usually they're pretty, we're pretty okay with, I don't have a lot of concerns about using these newer drugs, with the caveat that, of course, a couple of years later, there are sometimes some things that come out after it's been around.
Somebody also asked along those lines about drugs, like you might take an ibuprofen for the pain a lot, like repeatedly over the course of days or weeks or months. Is there, and I know that it has some impact on kidney function, are there alternatives for pain treatment other than ibuprofen?
Yeah, so that's exactly right. So drugs like ibuprofen and Aleve are non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, and they do have some concerning side effects, especially if you're using them every day for long periods of time, and they're more harmful for older folk. So they can cause kidney stress. They can also increase the risk of kind of stomach bleeds. And again, this is especially true for the older you are. So we actually, for our older folk, we ask them to try to stay away from ibuprofen or just use it kind of as needed on those really bad days, and to use things like Tylenol, which don't have those same kind of effects, but also tend sometimes not to, people tell me don't work as well for their pain.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why I really like that Voltaren gel or the diclofenac gel that we were talking about earlier, because it's the same type of medication as ibuprofen, but it goes straight, to the joint, over the joint, and it doesn't get absorbed into the bloodstream at levels that are high enough for it to, affect the kidneys or affect the stomach or affect the heart or anything like that. But the thing with those gels or those creams is that you do have to put them on multiple times a day, day after day after day, to really build up that medication in the tissues. So people will often want, a quick fix. They'll put it on and be like, oh, it didn't help because I put it on and my knee still hurts. But in order for it to really be effective, you've got to kind of reapply it multiple times. Usually we say four times a day, which can be hard for people. They're busy. They have things to do. They don't have time to put creams on their joints all the time. And so for that, if that's not working or that doesn't work with people's lifestyles, that's when joint injections can really help and also provide relief.
All right, we're going to take our last break of this hour. It is 7:45 on a Sunday morning. I'm Susie Jones, and we're talking about arthritis. 651-461-9226. We'll be back right after this short break. It is 7:50 on this Sunday morning. We're talking arthritis, and let me tell you, this is a good topic. Should have you on every other week, doctor. let's just hit as many of these as we can. Can you spell the name of the cream that you're referring to? Because that I've used that cream when I had a bad pain in my neck. Pain was bad after a car accident. What's that called? There's two of them.
Yeah. So the kind of generic diclofenac is DICLOFENAC. Diclofenac, and then the name brand is, I tell people, though, they can get the generic. It's much cheaper. This can be kind of a pricey cream. Is Voltaren. That's Voltaren.
That's the one I used. All right. Texter writes, does exercising the muscle help the bone?
Yes. Very good question. So, yeah, in all of our arthritides, exercise and movement of the joint is really key, which is why we don't like calling the osteoarthritis wear and tear arthritis, because it makes people think, oh, I shouldn't be using my joints because I'm going to make the arthritis worse. And that's actually not true. The first thing we tell people is physical therapy. If you strengthen the muscles and the ligaments that support that joint, that's going to be really huge. And you're also going to improve your blood flow to the joints and help the mobility. And so movement and exercise and kind of also strengthening those muscles around the joint are probably the most important thing that we can do to help. And that's true for all of our arthritis. So even the ones, that I tend to see, like the autoimmune arthritis. And in that, we used to say, like, okay, when you've got inflammation, you shouldn't be moving the joint. And there is some truth to that. If your knee is very swollen and warm, you want to first, you know, wait until that swelling kind of goes down and you don't have as much inflammation. But as soon as it's a little bit, you know, better, you want to start moving, even in the beginning, just at least stretching that joint out and then slowly working up to really exercising the muscles around it.
Great. Texture writes, just for fun this morning, my mother-in-law used to say those itis boys are something else, but Art is the worst.
I love that.
That's funny. And just for listeners, a couple of people asked about the cream. And so, again, our producer, Josh, did spell it out and send it back to folks. So that's good. That's good there. Can you get arthritis in your neck?
Yes, you can. And so, you know, all throughout our spine can get arthritis. And this is one of those times where the x-ray imagings, although they can be helpful, are not always key because, you know, even if you have really bad arthritis in your spine, you may not have a lot of symptoms. And even if you, you know, don't have really crazy findings on the x-ray, you might have a lot of, you know, a pain in the neck and in the spine. And again, you know, for those kinds, for the neck and spine, I do tell people, you know, see your spine surgeons, talk about injections, again, physical therapy, things like that. Now, and again, it depends a lot on what's causing that arthritis. So if it's an autoimmune disease, which is what, you know, rheumatologists tend to treat, then there are medications that we would start you on to help control that inflammation. But if it's more of the osteoarthritis in the spine, then that would be more to kind of go see your primary care, physical therapy, and then the spinal surgeons.
All right. And we want to remind people about that cream because there's a lot of interest in that, that it is expensive. And you let's spell it one more time because then people will know for sure. It's D as in dog. You do it.
Okay. Yeah, it's diclofenac. So D as in dog, F-L-O. Oh, sorry. I'm getting too confused spelling out loud. I'll start over. So D as in dog, I-C-L-O-S, diclofenac. Diclofenac.
Okay.
Diclofenac gel.
And Josh put it on our screen, too, but because someone said that the other one is expensive. And another question was, this all these you can get at the over-the-counter, because I know Cub Food has it in their pharmacy area. And it really does help. But as you mentioned before, you do have to keep putting it on. My sister, this texture writes, has arthritis in her eye. Is that
So this is, you know, when we're talking about the autoimmune inflammatory arthritis, again, these are the ones that I actually tend to see a lot more of that I take care of. And as I mentioned earlier, this is where your immune system is the problem and it's turning in on itself. Our immune system's job is supposed to fight viruses and bacteria, and it's getting dysregulated and attacking your own body. And for a lot of people, this will stay in the joints, but because it is a full body disease, a systemic disease, it can affect other organs as well. So it can go to the eye, it can go to the stomach or the intestines, it can go to the lungs and cause lung disease. And so these are the kind, you know, you don't have to worry about this with osteoarthritis, but this is sometimes what we see in things like psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, ankylosing spondylitis, or juvenile arthritis, or arthritis associated with things like lupus.
All right, 651-461-9226. Let us just do final thoughts because we have just about an hour left. We have so many questions that we did not get to. You know, if a person is listening right now and they have these questions like, is this drug better than that drug? Or what are the long-term ramifications? What would you recommend they do with about 30 seconds left?
I would recommend they go speak with their primary care physician. Primary care doctors definitely see arthritis a lot, especially kind of the osteoarthritis, and they will help kind of navigate of what the next step should be for you. If it should be seeing physical therapy, seeing a rheumatologist, seeing an orthopedic doctor, or just using kind of over-the-counter stuff.
Thank you for coming on. It was absolutely wonderful. Thank you for people listening and participating. And if you have any questions, you can call the studio 651-461-9226. If you want the spelling of those creams, we'll give them to you. Have a good morning.